As you may know, I narrate creepypastas on YouTube, but from time to time, I like to write some of my stories here, and they almost always do well, above and beyond an average video. I've been around long enough to know what works and what doesn't, and I can piece together new trends based on all my years of experience. However, lately, my ideas have been dry. I felt creatively stagnant. I wouldn't call it writer's block, more just uninspired. So, I was struck with a wave of ideas when a random facts TikTok came on my For You page. Apparently, last year, the character Winnie the Pooh fell into the public domain, a big hit to the Disney roster. After this happened, a horror movie was immediately made called Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. It didn't do well, but it never got taken down, which gave me the feeling of security to be able to use such a beloved icon. So, it was the perfect IP to base a new story on. Usually, stories can be written about copyrighted IPs. It falls under the clause of fair use. But it's a hard one to claim. A lot of keyboard lawyers think they know how it works, but it's a lot more strict than people think. Things that people think are fair use by far do not fall into the category. The common rhetoric is that just by labeling something as parody is fine, but there are so many nuances that aren't established from the vague law that you're always treading light ground. But when something hits the public domain, it's fair game. The story I wrote was great. It was about someone who had a strange feeling of familiarity whenever he saw Winnie the Pooh. Even the first time he saw a cartoon with the character, he had this vague sense of recognition. He starts having night terrors about the character, visions of Winnie visiting him in the dead of night, wearing a white t-shirt instead of his usual red, seeing the other characters unlocking with a morbid curiosity from his shelves, closet, and other bedroom furnitures, as Winnie taunted the protagonist to come back. He doesn't know what this means. Come back? Back to where? Through a series of investigations, both in the real world and in the night terrors, he finds the location of the 100-acre woods, the real one. A now decrepit, overgrown hellscape of dead greens, no sign of life, and when there is evidence, it's long since turned to bones. He stumbles upon the creatures of childhood in a clearing, low illumination flickering their very recognizable silhouettes. The protagonist watches in secret as Winnie and the others wait for something, until Tigger arrives through an opening with a child. They all celebrate and act in a jovial manner, despite what the protagonist had experienced from the years of torment. It was blatantly a facade, though that was lost on the kid. Through a series of horrific events, a sacrifice is made, which soaks into their leader, Winnie, whose shirt turns red from the essence. After this, the protagonist doesn't get any visits or night terrors. He thinks it's over. Until Winnie starts showing up again, the red slightly faded from his shirt. He needs more. It was perfect. It had everything. It used the IP without pandering. The plot told a full story, not a half ending. I knew people on Reddit and YouTube would eat it up. I posted it first on r/nosleep to garner some attention, see if anything needed editing, and the comments I got loved it, playing on people's nostalgia with a dark twist. However, while refreshing to see newer interactions, suddenly, the story was gone. I was frustrated. Some of the sub-rules on there can be so arbitrary, so it could have been something so small to be taken down. Some rules even coming to the subjectivity of the particular mod who reviewed the story. It was taken down at the prime time for traction. Even if I appealed it, the wind would be lost from the sails. So I tried again on an alt, and the same thing happened. I was annoyed to say the least. Even though Reddit wasn't my main source of feedback, it always feels nice to gain traction. But at least I had my main use for the story, to narrate it for YouTube. I recorded, mastered, edited, made sure everything was perfect, added the effects for visuals, cleaned up a tidy thumbnail to make it catchy, made sure to give it a concise title to garner curiosity. And as soon as it was posted, it was immediately taken down. I don't think anyone even saw it before it was removed from my channel. I checked my notifications. It was a straight DMCA takedown, removed for copyright by Disney. I knew I was in the right. When I checked before writing, Winnie the Pooh was definitely in the public domain. Surely this was an automated takedown. It sucks, but something I could appeal. So I sent a full description through the appeal process to try to get the video reinstated, hoping the video was very quickly brought back. However, it was immediately rejected. So I worked hard to change things around, mention Winnie less by name, seeing if reducing it could lower the chances of the transcription getting automatically detected by the bots that run this site. I re-uploaded it, and straight away again, it was taken down. This hurt. Not only emotionally, but that was now two strikes on my channel, meaning I lost some features and I had to tread lightly from now on since three strikes and you're out. This takedown, however, was followed up by an email. It was addressed from the Disney legal team. I opened it, expecting some half-hearted automated email that they sent to idiots that re-uploaded their movies, hoping I'd be able to reply to a human to try sort this out. But the body of the email was brief. Only four words. "We'll be visiting soon." My heart dropped. I didn't know what this meant. Was I being served, or whatever that meant? Were they going to take me away? Try me immediately with no course of action? So I took to searching online for advice to see if anyone else had encountered something like this. I was on a time limit. I had no idea whether it would be months while they gathered their legal team, maybe weeks if they were prepared for situations like this, or even days, since they were a multi-billion-dollar mega corporation. I barely skipped past the first few ad search results of my journey for information before I heard a knock. There was no way. The whole of my mind doubted it was them, bar a minuscule percentile of the belief in the possibility. It would be unreal that they'd come that quickly. Yet, as I was thinking this over, more knocks came. I had nothing ordered to my house, no food coming, no packages. So, out of that little drip of fear in my heart, I decided not to answer. Make them think no one was home. All the lights were off, and I had my bedroom curtains closed. They persisted. Firm knocks on the door. When it stopped, I was relieved. But that relief was short-lived. I heard the thumps of footsteps around the house, the crunch of gravel along the edges of the property, and the rustling of bushes around the back. My mind rewound, hoping to God that I'd remembered to lock the back door, which I must have, because I didn't hear it open. But the movement didn't stop with the perimeter of the house. I heard a pummeling sound on the sides. At first, I thought they were banging on the walls, trying to relentlessly get my attention. but the pummeling sounded all around the outsides of the house, slowly moving up. I didn't have to figure out what it was, because the next thing I heard was an upstairs window open and a series of scuttling come in. Whatever came in wasn't human. I quickly hid under my bed as I heard them rapidly scuttle around in the other upstairs rooms. It wasn't long before they were in my room. I heard the staggered thumps of their steps as they moved around, ricocheting off furniture, rebounding around the bed, stumbling on top. My heart was in my throat when I felt the press of the mattress push down on me, hoping they didn't feel it back. I saw a pair of legs pause in front of me and stop in a brief moment of contemplation. I heard its labored breathing and small grunts before the thing dropped on all fours and quickly ran away. I breathed out in a sigh of relief for the moment of reprise. Until I heard a dark whisper from beside me. Disney still owns the rights to the movie adaptation of Winnie the Pooh. I turned to see the shade of one of them next to me that must have quietly crawled under the bed from the scramble around my room. I screamed, quickly escaped my hiding spot, and ran. Others around caught on and started chase. I dashed past one narrowly. As I did, it span in a pirouette and fell on all fours to give chase. I ran down the stairs in jumps and quickly closed myself in the smallest space I could find, an old closet muffled with coats. I heard the chasers run past. But another whisper came. Tigger was in the sequel box and still hasn't fallen into the public domain. Nothing was beside me, nor behind. I only had to glance up to see that one of them was hiding in here with me. I tried to run, but I wasn't fast enough a second time. A long arm reached out and grabbed me. The others thundered towards the door. I was caught. I was pulled out, and in the dim light of the moon through the shades, I saw them. They looked like businessmen, but everything about them was elongated. Their arms would have drooped to the floor if their legs weren't also long and gangly. Their faces were the stretched facades of a human's. Despite their earlier speed, they were savoring this moment, taking their time to soak in my fear. Another leaned in close and told me the rules. That though the original character, Winnie the Pooh from the books, fell into the public domain, that the likeness of Disney's adaptation was still under their ownership, specifically the Winnie with the red shirt, and that many of the character's rights published in the latter books had not yet expired. At this, he reached over to me slowly with one of his stick-thin arms, unfurled a gnarly finger, and gently touched my forehead. An immense pain ran through me as I screamed in unimaginable horror. It felt like I was being touched by the concentrated heat of a thousand suns. Very quickly, I passed out from the pain. When I woke, I saw two more figures. My parents had come to check on me as they were passing by the area. They laughed at my state. All they saw was me passed out in the middle of the living room, stewing in my own mess. "Had a rough night last night," blurted my father. "Must have been a fun party, though," my mum bantered after. I didn't know what to say. I was stunned, wondering how much of last night's events were even real. No words came to mind, as all I could focus on was the radiating burning sensation I could feel on my forehead. However, there must have been nothing there, since all my parents commented on was my rough state. Any kind of wound would have immediately changed the tone to a more serious mood. I didn't want to explain any of what happened, so I just went along with their narrative. Though I knew I'd be laughed at for many family gatherings to come. After they left, I went to the bathroom to clean up and give myself a look over. I really did look like a mess. My hair was disheveled from a restless night, drool stains lined horizontally on my cheeks, and my eyes were crusty from tears. But I paid no mind to that. In the middle of my forehead was a mark, clear as day. Three circles burned on my flesh, the wound red and raw, all clustered in the silhouette of Mickey Mouse. I was branded, but only to my eyes, a permanent pain that hasn't gone away since. I felt defeated. All I wanted to do was have some fun, play with an IP that I thought was fair game. But I was wrong, and heavily punished for it. I almost wanted to give up this whole act. However, one thing is keeping me going. My own personal revenge. Not something that would get them back nearly as much as they hurt me, but enough spite to see if I can make a giant bleed. I did some research, and something interesting came up. Disney's own Mickey Mouse falls into the public domain in 2024. So, I will wait until then, and I will write the most vile story imaginable with their beloved character.